astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hello, baby.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hello again. Hello.
Bye, say hello.
Say hello.
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 Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, friend.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi,
hey,
ho.
Hi.
Yo.
G'day.
Ha, ha.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Rappers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Guys, tune in. Great show. It's not just about football.
What is this, 3.0? Would call this 3.0? 2.1? The Matrix? Resurrections? Erections?
No, it's we'll the Matrix!
The Matrix. So, Packers Without Borders is going forward. There's no sense in going backwards. Bruce has got his own dragons to slay. He's running two businesses. He's got a large family. And I know that finding time is difficult, and sometimes you need to concentrate on family rather than fun times. And hopefully he gets his that mountain climbed and conquered, and we hear from him in the future. So
it is, though. Sometimes you can find a guy who has no kids and nothing else to do. So when you're like, hey, man, you got about 45 to 60 minutes to do something to talk about football in the offseason. It's like, yeah, we're good.
Well, I'm joined by Matt Stevenson, the inaugural relaunch 3-2-1. We have comprehension. Packers Without Borders 3.0, the Matrix resurrection erections. First, I want to say the Packers have hired a new defensive coordinator. They got rid of Joe Barry, and we got this guy, Jeff Hafley, out of Boston College. Have you heard of this guy? Has this ever come across your radar, Jeff Hafley?
We have the most amazing ability to draft and hire people who I have never heard of.
Right. And
some of them turn out to be quite good. Some of
exactly.
them, legendary names like Don Capers, turn out to be quite terrible. So I'm kind of thinking it's like the less I know about the coaches we hire, the better I feel about the opportunity of their success.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I made it very public, and I'm still, you know, on the fence about it. I wanted the brand name. I wanted that recognizable, this is a defensive coordinator. You know, what's funny is everybody said Zimmer, Leslie Frazier, all of those guys, the game is past them. And as soon as we hired Jeff Hafley, they all got snapped up immediately. So I don't think the game has passed some of these guys. I will say, you know, when you look at Belichick, and that he's 71, 72 years old, maybe we're getting to that time.
Can I get an over-under opinion from you, and no free ads for any gaming site, the over-under of next year's hot defensive or offensive coordinator? I'm putting it at like 23 and a half. Like this, whoever they hire is going to be barely out of high school. Forget about college.
Right. So he was slinging ice cream on a bicycle last week, and he came to LaFleur, rang the bell three times. That was a sign from LaFleur. You hear the bell three times, a DC gets his wings. And so They hired this kid right out of elementary school, right?
He's yeah, but they were trouble. They won the Pop Warner League.
Listen, lunchtime intramurals, they hadn't been scored on in almost 3 weeks. I mean, that's huge.
Welcome to Trouble Borders 3.1.
He has trouble saying the word coordinator because well, he's seven. But we've heard big things out of Boston College. So,
yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure if you go back and watch Spotlight, he didn't actually go to BC. He went to the high school across the street from BC.
I see. I see BC. Right. Yeah. Right. Makes a lot of sense.
Listen, I promise we're going to get very, very serious about football very soon.
One day in the future. So I like the idea that we've got a different person calling plays. I think that was kind of one of our major problems was that the play calling was very suspect. There was an awful lot of, I mean, look at the last couple of drives that San Francisco had against us in the playoffs there. There was a lot of soft zone. There was a lot of, in a third and four, and our guys were lined up 6-7 yards deep. There was giving up the middle of the field. Tight ends have notoriously torn us apart, especially running seams and through the middle and the posts. And then, of course, the run game. Now, I know Jeff Hafley right away, he runs a 4-3. Well, if we remember what LaFleur said during that press conference, so did Joe Barry. Those linebackers magically became defensive ends, and that's what was supposed to stop the run. We need
defensive ends were dropped into covers to become linebackers at 291 pounds, and let's have them cover a guy who runs a 4-3.
The safeties became kickers. I mean, it was just a carousel, right? It was like, what's Jordan Love doing out there covering Justin Jefferson? Exactly. Oh well.
It's like that package. A few weeks ago, that backup running back who kicked a field goal. I was like, yeah.
You know, while in nickel coverage, the quarterback becomes a safety. So it's blasphemous and flabbergasting that you don't know that, to quote LaFleur's eyebrows. So we have a different coordinator. I'm happy that we have a different coordinator. I don't know if I'm happy with Hafley, and I won't know until probably week 4. And I say week 4 because the defense should have more success quicker than the offense. The offense needs, you know, there's timing, there's rhythm, there's routes, there's, you know, all of this stuff is very specific and laid out. It's like a ballet, right? It's all coordinated. When it comes to defense, you pin your ears back and you frickin' go. This is the guy I'm covering, or that's the guy I'm covering. This is the area I'm covering, or this is the area I'm covering. And easy peasy. I would love to see a 4-man front, maybe Kenny Clark playing edge. You got Slayton and Wyatt in the middle, and then maybe a Van Ness on the other side. But again, when I talk about a 4-man front, I'm thinking about elephants on parade, big fat guys. I don't want to see, you know, a safety who can play middle linebacker. And don't worry, we put him at edge. I don't want to see that.
Michael Downs would like a word.
Right?
Matt, you and I are old enough to get that reference. Most of the audience, probably not.
Maybe not. You might have to Google that one. I'll give you a minute to Google it. Hold on. Go ahead. All right. Well, now you got it.
Yeah, but here's the sound of the Googling that's going.
Tick, 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 tick. I don't know if your phones make those noises anymore. I turn that shit off immediately. Like, my phone needs to be silent. It can't. If I hear the clicking when I'm typing, I will throw my phone in the fucking lake. So.
No, I feel it, though. It's kind of the question when you look at the defenses, the schemes, and the personnel who have been successful. Are there fat guys anymore? Are there Gilbert Browns? Are there these giant dudes? Or is everybody now just these athletic freaks that they would be tight ends if they could catch, but because right. they can't, now they all play defensive line. And even the linebackers are looking at them and they're like, dude, yo, and you're like, and they look back and like, yeah, exactly. I mean, Micah Parsons looks at these other dudes and he's just like, what you got?
Yeah. Well, and you know, what's funny is that before, if you were 300 pounds and up, you were on the defensive line And if you were 240 and to 3, you know, 290, you were a linebacker, and everybody under 240 was a DB, right? Or
maybe a fullback.
Yeah. But now it's like, oh no, a guy at 210 pounds can play defensive line. No, he can't, because the guy blocking him is 150 pounds heavier than him. That's why he can't play defensive line. The reason why we're getting blown up in the middle, if we think back, the last time we actually had a very athletic, big, fat guy that could play nose in a 3-4, that was BJ Raj. We haven't had anybody since.
That's the big fat guy. Right there by bringing up BJ.
Right? Like, Kenny Clark keeps slimming down. Kenny Clark is a beast. Don't get me wrong. But Kenny Clark does not demand the double team all day long.
Because he's only 298 pounds.
Or whatever it is now. Now he's 265 or something. I mean, Jesus. You know, I see some of these guys. Dude, you know the guy from Jack Reacher? Have you seen the TV show Jack Reacher?
Yes.
Alan Richardson? Okay. I am an inch taller and 20 pounds heavier than him. There's no fucking way. There's no way. Those are his stats. I would be a monster compared to him, and that guy's a freaking behemoth. So when I hear these stats, I always kind of think, I don't think that's right, because Kenny Clark looks way bigger than his stats. Yeah, right?
Wait, what are you saying his numbers are again?
Kenny Clark, you know what? I'm going to check it right now, because I'm convinced it is.
Is there Googling?
Okay, so his weight is 142 kilograms.
Awesome. I don't know what that means, because I'm not Canadian.
I don't know what that means either. So, okay. So he is 6'3", 314 pounds. Okay? So he's about 74 pounds heavier than me. That's a big guy. That's a 12-year-old child he's carrying around with him that's bigger than me.
But in the NFL, he's big-ish.
Yeah.
He's not Larry Brown.
Yeah. No. If we go over to BJ Raj, okay? BJ Raj, 6'2", 314. Okay?
So yeah, 6'2". That guy's built like a cube.
Right? We don't have that big guy that can take a gap, grab the center, and cover both A gaps. And I'm moving my hands back and forth to the left and the right here. You know, move that center to close up the A gap to make the running back go somewhere else. Now we've got a center and a guard who grabs Kenny Clark or Slayton or Wyatt or just one of the fat guys, opens up the hole. And because we don't have as many fat guys to hold up, you know, cover those gaps, boom, there goes the running back. You don't think so? Go take a look at Christian McCaffrey's run against us right through the freaking middle, right? Like, and again, we're getting gashed in the heart of the defense. We should be getting beat on the outsides or these trick plays or something like that. And instead, he's square punching us right in the nose. So if we're going to have four guys on the line.
Hand raised, as the evolution of the body types of these guys happen. You got quarterbacks now that are built like Lamar, who are just get loose. Or you've got giant quarterbacks like Josh Allen, who get loose differently. But as a result, well, even our guy, I mean, like Jordan Love, he can run. He doesn't a lot, but he can. As a result, offensive lines need to be more athletic. Defensive lines in reaction to that need to be more athletic. So looking at this in question,
you got a great point. And I'm going to counter that point by asking you, how many Super Bowls has Lamar Jackson won?
Well, we'll find out next week.
How many Super Bowls has Josh Allen won? Super Bowls did Mike Vick win? How many Super Bowls did Randall Cunningham win? How many Super Bowls did Donovan McNabb win? The scrambling quarterback always seems to get stifled in the playoffs. If you can't stand in that pocket, take a hit in the face to throw that ball on time, you can't be there. Because the team that wins the Super Bowl plays good defense and runs the ball.
Are we really going to put those names you just mentioned, though, up against Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer?
Hey, Eli Manning.
They must be fan because they got jewelry that the other guys don't.
Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. I don't think I've ever seen that kid run more than 4 yards in my life.
God, it's embarrassing that you just said that out loud, and I have to agree with you that it cannot be denied. By the way,
90% of the time, the NFL MVP does not play in the Super Bowl. 90% of the time. You don't need the NFL MVP to win the Super Bowl. You don't.
Okay, so let's, instead of talking about the guys who run for 600 to 800 or even 1200 yards anymore, but like the guys who really move, they can still move around in the pocket. When you look at somebody like Mahomes and how you develop an offensive, even Rodgers, you know, Rodgers' whole game, you know, we've talked about this on previous episodes where his game was built on chaos. Not necessarily what he's running for.
The scramble drill. The scramble drill, right?
Yeah, he could be loose. So when everybody used to think it's like, oh, we're going to have our entire offensive line is going to look like Aaron Gibson. It's all going to be 400-pound offensive linemen, which means the interior defensive line, especially if you're going to be a 3-4, then they all had to be 415 pounds. And now it's like, no, you know what? What if we had 11 guys who looked like Javon Kearse? And so, like, that's the thing, you know, where we see the Watts and the Bosas and these dudes come from. You know, like, how do we look at the evolution of both the offensive and the defensive line of, you know, are we really going to see tackles and guards at, like, 265, 270 pounds?
I don't think so.
They got to be big.
And the reason is physics. How much harder is it for a guy that's 200 pounds to block a 400-pound guy? I mean,
let me offer you this in addition. How much harder is it for a 220-pound guy to run around a 350-pound guy? Because the 350-pound guy just occupies more space. It literally takes him longer to run around him.
I mean, that's exactly it, right? Bruce Lee, 155 pounds, one of the fastest guys on the planet. But I'll promise you, if Andre the Giant got his mitts on that guy, he'd break him in half.
Pretty sure I saw that movie.
Right? But that's how it works, right? Those little guys, they can move around, and I get the concept. I enjoy the idea. I enjoy the idea. But football's, all of football's moves and trials and research and lab tests, if you will, have been done. There is nothing more to invent. Oh, Lamar Jackson is inventing how to play quarterback. He looks a lot like Michael Vick.
They did it wrong half the time.
Oh, more than half.
If you look at the first round draft picks, half of them are busts. They always are.
Yeah.
And actually, just again, no free ads, but this is a free ad. Russillo had Dominique Foxworth on today, and Fox was talking about this exact thing and how when he played, they would ask him, like, who is the hardest person for you to guard? And he would always say, it's like, well, you know, I would give them the names they wanted to hear. You know, it was T.O., it was Randy Moss. But he said, the guy that scared the crap out of me was Deion Branch. Because Branch could get loose real quickly.
Yeah, sure.
And like, so that's what I'm wondering. You know, the way that Shanahan has done whatever it is he's done. Yes, there's no rings hanging on their fingers. But they're terrifying because nobody knows what to do with them. And that's what I'm kind of wondering is,
there's
going to be a coach who can come up with this thing. It's like, what if we went white? And got weird.
I understand what Shanahan's a great play caller, comes up with some fantastic ideas, schemes, an awful lot of stuff. LaFleur is very similar. Shanahan, of course,
is LaFleur Shanahan light?
No, he is. He's like your less taste or same taste, less filling, only 90 calories. Shanahan, right?
Mick Ultra. He's LaFleur Ultra.
He's LaFleur Ultra. And if you look at any one of those 5. And that was in 2 games, against us and again against the Lions. Any of those 5 interceptions that Brock Purdy throws, any one of those gets picked and they're out. And we're not having this conversation about Shanahan or anything else. Now, if you were to install a veteran quarterback in that 49ers system, is it better? No, it's not. And we've seen it with Garoppolo. We've seen it with everybody else that he's tried along the way. You need a quarterback, much like LaFleur needed this year. You need a quarterback that's inexperienced and will stand there and say, yes, sir, because you're going to give him option 1, option 2, throw it away. Option 1, option 2, throw it away.
And he's not going to change the play at the line with 0.5 seconds left on the play clock.
Exactly. You get a lot of Jordan Love going, I will take, and this is why we see different receivers going off. Wicks goes off for 100. Next week, Dobbs goes off for 100. Next week, this guy goes off for 100. We see this because Jordan Love sees option 1, option 2, there. Option 1, option 2, there. Rodgers would go option 1, option 2, option 3, option 4, back to 1, back to 2, back to 3. How come they're still not blocking for me? Let me run over here. It's been 11 minutes. Where are these guys? How come you're not getting open? Damn receivers.
And I hate all of them because they dropped a pass 4 years ago in a preseason game.
Yeah. But Lazard is the best one. Bring him to the green in Jersey.
To my larger point,
I was literally going to throw up when I said Lazard was the best one. I had to swallow it back. Nobody wanted Lazard for what Lazard. Nobody.
Take a moment to go throw up while Matt goes and throws up because we're all throwing up. By the way, best salary cap move ever. Jets want to sign him?
Yep. Go ahead. All yours.
But do you think with the evolution of... Maybe let's not go with a running quarterback. So, back to what you were saying a few minutes ago about how none of these guys have rings, and they don't, and that cannot be disputed. These are the facts and evidence. Is there a path to the evolution of the way you build your audience where you are no longer taking these giant dudes up front? And, it's kind of like we've seen... And then, I'm going to take a risk here. It is Packers Without Borders, which means we got a lot of people listening from a lot of parts of the world. The evolution of the white tight end, the white edge rusher, and now, thanks to Dejon from Iowa, we're about to have our first starting white cornerback in the NFL in, I'm not kidding, like 28 years. So as we look to change how the game and the team is constructed, could we start to see smaller offensive linemen in order to take advantage of mobile pockets, RPOs, all that sort of thing?
I don't think so. And, you bring on the evolution of Bosa, and I think of guys like Howie Long and Lyle Alzado. I think those guys have always been there. Okay, evolution
of Howie Long, that's literally 40 years ago.
Right. But I mean, I think of those ends and, those have been back and forth. We've had Aaron Kampman. I mean, we've had our own ends, the tight ends and the corners. I can't disagree with you. There's always been, I think of Antonio Gates when he played for the Chargers. Antonio Gates, when he went to high school and when he went to college, guess what? He played basketball. That's all he played. Yeah. Couldn't get into the NBA, became a tight end, and all they did was throw jump balls to him all day long.
And all they did was go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I see a lot of different sports that are transitioning where those athletes are now becoming football players, or those football players are now becoming something else. One example, boxing. Where are all the heavyweight contenders? They are in the NFL making $400,000 a year and not getting punched in the face. That's who they are. I don't blame them. That's where I would be.
If they can't make the roster, they all become MMA or professional boxers. And
yeah. If you look at NASCAR and Formula One, all of the pit crew members, 90% of them were going to the NFL.
Hold on. Don't even save that for the next episode, because we could do an hour on that. The combine of how they discover people to do pit crew, fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
That's worth a conversation on its own.
Like, we're seeing, and I mean, even up here in Canada, okay, when I played football 300 years ago, the scholarship lists were very minute. It was small. It was a very, very, very elite club, and there was no money to be given to anybody because it was all hockey, right? It was all, you played hockey, and here's your scholarship. Man, when I played in grade 10 when I played hockey, they were lining up to talk about scholarships. When I played football in grade 10, they were like, what game is that? Is that the one with the weird-shaped ball? Is that what you're... Now it's completely different. Now the script is completely flipped. If you want a scholarship, the football scholarships are being handed out like fucking lunch money up here. Now they are taking any and everybody because the popularity, because the NFL is growing, because the game itself is
getting. Can I still get back in there if we got in shape?
I don't think I could. I think I could definitely make those Gatorades though. I mean, I think I could. My 40 time is not as good as my 21-year-old time. Okay.
40 yards or 40 meters?
40 steps. 40 steps. You can clock me with a sundial.
Packers without borders. There's two different countries we're talking about right now.
I went to the other day. I went to my daughter's varsity basketball game, and in the hallway, they were running 40 times for the football team. And I walked up to the head coach and I said, "How many times has somebody said you could clock that kid with a sundial?" And he just laughed and he said, "Well, not yet." And I said, "That's all my coach ever used to say about me."
When I would run up to do mine, the guy would pull a calendar out of his pocket. Yeah. And this is over.
It's the best podcast in the world.
It's the greatest podcast in English.
The cream of the crop.
They're really, really good.
Better than the best!
The best of the best.
Better than the best!
Putting on a good show.
The best Packer podcast on the net.
The finest podcast in all the land.
The cream of the crop.
Guys, tune in. Great show.
Better than the best.
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Robson, Green Bay Packers. For 10 years, Super Bowl I and two champions, Hall of Famer, Pink Packer Hall of Famer. And I tell you, I enjoy listening to Packers Without Borders.
It's time for Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
Today, be the person your dog thinks you are.
Packers Without Borders.
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 Packers Without Borders. The greatest podcast on the planet.
I was a pretty decent American football player. You know what I was not? Fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have gone to the NFL. There was only one thing that held me back. Talent. So we're going to go.
You didn't have enough money to buy tickets. But yeah. Back to my point, though, about, you know, the potential of evolution of the game. We always, all the nerds watch the combine, which I don't know why. That's horrifying. Please stop doing that. But who cares? Did Cameron Poe, not Cameron Poe, that was Nicolas Cage in...
Are you going to... Do you want me to say it? Con Air.
Con Air, there you go. Dontarian Poe.
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Absolutely insanely athletic at like 400 pounds, running a 4.8 40. That guy's never going to run 40 yards on the field. So as we look at the athletes that we want to have playing certain positions, what should we be paying attention to?
Well, you know, there's There's a couple of different changes, and the NFL hitman there, Dazeem, Christian Watson's dad, he touched upon it. When I played football, and this was university, Canadian university, okay, we had two-a-days. And the first practice of the morning...
In Canadian football, it'd only be one-a-day, right? Because you only play three downs.
Because of the exchange.
I'm sorry, it's an easy joke.
Because of the exchange. Because of the exchange, it's only one and a half.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but... With we had two-a-days, and you would go to practice at like 9 a.m, and you would stretch for 20 minutes, and then you would fucking run until you had nothing left to run, until people were puking. Then you'd go for lunch, maybe have an hour break, and you'd come back about 1 o'clock, and you would do hitting and contact drills all afternoon. The NFL is now down to about an hour three times a week. And 90% of it is walkthroughs. You're not actually contacting anybody. So when we see these small little injuries that keep popping up and popping up, those things would get worked out. We used to call it the meat grinder. You'd build up that layer of bruises and calluses and bones and what you could practice through and what you couldn't practice through by going through Oklahoma drills and by getting tackled over and over again. And your defense, you're tackling guys. One thing that our defense didn't have very good tackling this year, our guys got really good at tackling because we did it over and over and over and over again. Now they get into sweats, they listen to music, they're dancing, they catch a few balls on some routes, and then they go back to the classroom.
Please allow your listeners to verify when Matt was talking about dancing, he was actually dancing. He was waving his hands in the air like he had no
repercussions. I know the Bollywood signs like that.
That's a really interesting thought about comparing the Canadian game to the American game. And Shadow, I hate calling him Ochocinco. What's his actual
Johnson.
Name?
Johnson.
Chad Johnson. He talked about when he came up there, he thought that he was just going to roll in. And then found out, no, I'm running fly routes on every single down.
Yeah.
And then you have to get back.
Yeah.
Quickly. Play.
Yeah.
And these dudes have to be in incredible shape in order to do this stuff. You can also do those weird, like, banana motion where you can be. The way that I've described it, it's an offensive blitz. You can be going forward.
All of them. The only ones that don't have to are the offensive line if they get into the 2-point or the 3-point. So that, you know, just much like it is in the NFL, if you get into that stance, that's your stance. But the wide receivers, the running backs, you'll see multiple times 4 or 5 guys in motion all at once. And they hit that line on the hut at full speed.
Full speed.
Oh, yeah.
How are you supposed to defend that? But also, when you've done that now for like 5 plays in a row, how do you get back?
Well, and that's what you see in the NFL. You watch Watson run a 40-yard fly and then go stand on the sidelines for 3 plays.
Yeah.
And then he goes, my hamstrings. And it's like, because you heat it up and then you cool it down and then you try and heat it up again. And guess what happens?
If Watson played 3 plays in a row, I'd be very excited about that.
Well, they'd be running plays.
Actually, NFL team played 3 plays in a row, I'd be very excited about that.
Without taking a break.
There's nothing quite as great as the 19 minutes of action spread out over 4 hours in between Jake from State Farm commercials.
This is all I'm looking forward to is the Jake Farm. Yeah.
No free ads.
I don't watch anything else. Listen, we got a handful of unrestricted free agents. We have a couple of restricted free agents. I'm just going to go quickly through them here. You give me a cut or keep. Okay?
No.
Simple Simon to the pieman. Tackle, Josh Nyman.
Keep.
Cornerback, Keyshawn Nixon.
Keep.
Safety, Darnell.
Time All-Pro return specialist.
Yeah. Darnell Savage, safety. I say we let him go simply because he is a first-round pick playing like a third-round pick. If he was a fifth-round pick playing like a third-round pick, we should keep him. but he's a first-round pick. He should be that dominant player. And you know what, Goose? I know Goose is listening. I'm sorry, but Darnell Savage, it is no mas.
All right.
No mas.
I will not argue. This is your house.
Jonathan
tells y'all that's really what makes it go.
Jonathan Ford, free safety.
I've literally never heard his name spoken aloud.
Well, there you go then. Running back AJ Dillon.
Fine.
Really?
Yeah. We'll get somebody in the fifth round. We got that other dude who stepped up in that. And then we saw four games in a row, the way that Aaron Rodgers transferred ownership of the Chicago Bears to Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Our man Aaron Jones now has taken ownership from Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I think that the Packers hang on to A.J. Dillon is A.J. Dillon's market value is $3.5 million, which isn't much.
What? Where can you put that elsewhere? Because you're about to ask me about Preston Smith, I'm assuming, and a few other folks. And it's
let's go through the rest here. We got Eric Wilson, outside linebacker.
I can't speak to him with any intelligence.
Yeah, Josiah DeGuara, tight end.
Gone.
He's been like a fumble. You know what I mean? Everything looks great, and then when the action actually happens, you're like, it doesn't look good.
We got these two giant dudes who look like they both played for Iowa, and that's all that matters.
We've got Kraft.
Like games to look like they played for Iowa.
We've got Kraft, Musgrave, and Sims. Everybody forgets about Sims.
Kraft was supposed to be the blocker.
Yeah.
Turns out, he's going to be the Gronk. The other guy's going to be the blocker.
Crazy, right? I mean, good for us. Tight end, Tyler Davis.
I don't know who that is either. I'm not sorry that I don't know who these guys are because they should have played better so that I would know who they are.
Mr. Simone Biles, Jonathan Owens.
I would like to keep him because he feels like one of those locker room guys. And you need
He's a thumper. He's a thumper. Yeah. You know?
And he blew him out.
I thought he played pretty good, especially near the end. I thought he played pretty good. I know he had trouble at the beginning of the year, but
in general, he doesn't play poorly.
Yeah.
But when he steps up, when he goes from average to good, it's a big deal and a big moment.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool. Let's do it.
Zane Anderson, safety.
Can't speak to him.
Robert Rochelle, cornerback.
So that's the hard part, right? It's the DBs. Do you want to go grab a 22-year-old who's never played in the league? Or do you want to give a guy a shot to figure out because he's been in the league? And this one's 50-50.
Yeah, I think all corners and safeties would be 50-50 this year. And I think that it'll wash itself out after the draft, after we see what we actually get, you know,
in the
draft.
Is there a harder position to play in the NFL than corner?
I don't think so. And the reason being is my best games, I had zeros on the stat sheets.
Because they didn't throw at you.
They didn't even look at me. Nothing happened. I chased the guy around all day. Nothing ever came my way. And this is the best part is that let's say we did 60 plays in a game. If I was perfect for 59, it didn't matter because that one that he caught for 40 yards was the one that everybody talked about.
Right? But they didn't even think about throwing at you for the other 59. And you're exhausted in the least rewarding position on the field. And then at one point, you're like, and that's when he goes for 49 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, or you
and
slip.
It's awful. But yeah, I think it's the hardest position to grade.
We had this one kid that I played against, number 81 from Calgary, the dinosaurs, the sore asses. That's what we used to call them because we used to kick the crap out of them. And this kid, lightning fast, lightning in a fucking bottle. This kid, I mean, I was 4'5", somewhere in that neighborhood. This kid had to be like 4'1". Like, it was so fast. He would take 3-4 steps, and I mean, I swear to you, he was 10 yards past me. Yeah, I was squinting my eyes trying to find him. That sort of thing. It's like, where'd he go? where'd he go? Right? And
look at both in meters and yards. It's like,
yeah, like it's like where, you know, hey Matt, where'd that guy go? Where'd who go? I didn't see anybody. I saw a blur. Was that the guy I was supposed to have?
For the record, I did watch Top Gun this week. That joke is very relevant right now.
Got to yell at my dog as the dog has decided that there's a golden retriever walking past the house, and that just can't happen. But anyway, this kid, super fast. And one of the first games that we had, they tripped him out wide to the left. I remember it specifically because that meant that they were bringing me down from safety, and it was me and him, and they were singling me out. So that's kind of like one of those their coach thinks that their guy can beat your ass. And they're calling you out. And quite honestly, oh yeah, he could. You're damn right he could. Here's the problem with his game. He came up on the line, stood there, smiled at me, tightened up his $110 gloves, and I said, holy shit.
You and I are about the same age. Were they Newman receiving?
Oh, yeah. And they were expensive, right? Like, it was like, holy crap. And he's tightening them up, reaches down, pulls on his Reebok Pitbull sneakers, gives him a little tug, gives him a little dust off, looks at me, and I said, you ain't catching shit in any of that equipment, son. I can guarantee you, right? He ran an in route, slammed right into me, flag. Next play, he runs a fly, and as he's running the fly, I said, I'm not even going to follow you because you're just going to drop it. And I said that because he was leaving my ass in the dust. Like, he was gone. Like, I was shouting it at him. I'm not even going to follow him. I couldn't follow him. Literally, they threw a bomb his way, went right into his hands, dropped it. Owned his ass for the next four games that we ever played against him. Every time we got up there, I said, hey, Drops. What's up, Drops? This kid, in the season, he was constantly 120, 150 yards, 2-3 touchdowns. He was just Mr. Dominant, Davante Adams type guy. I'm not saying he was Davante Adams. What I'm saying is he was that type of guy that they depended on, went to, the number one. When he came up against me, six games, zero catches, 0 yards. And honestly, he beat my ass up and down the field with route running. But because I was trash-eyed, I was in his head and gave him just a little bit of doubt, he dropped everything that came his way. One time, the ball literally went right off his face mask. And I caught it. And he was 5 yards away from me. And I was like, pitch you, bitch! And I took off. Right? I didn't do a thing.
So, you... As a, you're actually kind of giant to be playing DB.
I don't know.
Who talks better shit? DBs or wide receivers?
Me.
Well, obviously you of all people. But in general, by position, DBs. Who talks a better game?
DBs.
Because the fact that you're like, man, I ain't even covering you because you're going to drop that shit. Like, that has to get into their head.
Oh, and it's
running. And then they're realizing you're not even covering them because you believe that.
I literally one time, now we were up by a couple of scores, and I knew I was going to get shit for this, but I literally one time I lined up against him like I was going to press man, and I said, I'm not even going to get out of my stance. He goes, what? I said, I'm not even going to get out of my stance. I'm not even going to, my hands aren't even going to leave my knees. I'm just going to sit right fucking here. I said, yell over at your quarterback. Let him know you're going wide. And he goes, shut up. And they snapped the ball. I didn't even move. He just ran right past me. Play is going on. I am like a statue. He dropped that ball.
I find you to be a terrifying human being already, but adding that to the storyline, like that's just, but
that's why Jair. Yep. And then all of a sudden.
If you remember when the Panthers were playing the Pack, what's his name? Clay starts calling something out, and the audio was so good. Clay calls out the Panthers play, and you could hear Cam Newton, who is a giant dick.
Yeah.
But you could hear him say, oh, you've been watching film. Yeah. And then immediately threw like a 7-yard touchdown because he guessed Clay exactly on the thing. So as far as the shit talkers, between who you're covering and who is trying to beat you, in your experience, who wins that more off?
The DB. The DB. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let me tell you, but John Madden had a great quote.
The classic quote that I always loved was, if DBs could catch, they'd be wide receivers.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, I dropped more interceptions than I ever caught. And I mean, like four times the amount. Like, it's not even close. If I would have caught every interception that was, well, I got hit in the chest one time, dead in the chest, threw it right at me, dropped it, right? And my coach would go, that's why you're a DB. Yeah. Right? Like, if you caught everything thrown your way, you'd be a wide receiver. Literally, I bet you my first year, I would have caught in 14 games, I would have caught 27 interceptions and probably broke every record in Canada possible. I caught 3.
Yeah. The coach is giving you that kind of shit, and you're like, yeah, but guess what? I'm running backwards, fool.
Yeah, and that's the joke, you know. Deion Sanders.
I don't know where I'm going either. They know where they're running, and they're running forward. I'm running backwards, trying to guess where they're going.
Deion Sanders and I had a back and forth one time on Twitter because Deion Sanders said, man, I ran a 4.2. And I said, yeah, and that shit was backwards because you were DB. And that was it. He was like, oh, that's it. You're my man. I was like, that's right. We have to be able to run backwards the first 5 to 10 yards as fast as they can run forwards. It's a difficult position. Listen, we're getting way ahead.
You're a big dude. Pretty sure you probably still run pretty fast backwards.
Oh, no.
Good. I believe in it. I believe
no more. Faster than there's no one. More. Listen, if my house was on fire, I would die in it. That's what. Let's get through the rest of this list. I got a couple other things I want to touch base with you on here. We're going to get to.
My battery is about to die, so we got to go.
Okay, so guard John Runyon.
Keep him. I love Runyon.
He's good. I like him. Tackle Caleb Jones.
Another clubhouse guy. That's why I like Runyon, like, in the room.
Yeah. Tackle Caleb Jones.
Yes. Keep.
Punter Daniel Wheaton.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah? You didn't like the punter?
There's... Dude, Marquette King is still out there. I want a black punter who wears a watch.
All right. Yeah, no, I get it. Benny Sapp, the third, safety.
Kind of like anybody who is the third. So if he can fit in salary cap thing, I am mad.
Third time's a charm. I mean, they don't say that for nothing.
Right.
Patrick Taylor, running back.
I kind of like Taylor if he's cheap. And so that goes back to the Dylan thing.
Yeah.
You know, we could probably grab somebody around where we got Dylan in the draft, like fourth or fifth. But I feel like the dudes that are already in the system are worth keeping if they're not expensive.
Absolutely. Bo Melton, wide receiver.
Oh, all day, every day.
Yeah, we got to sign that guy.
Our number 4 in our empty set. I want that dude catching 50 balls next year.
Right? Right. Christian Upoff, safety.
Never heard his name spoken aloud.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that one, too. A lot of these guys would be practice squad guys, whether or not they signed them. Who knows? Super Bowl predictions, Matt.
There will be one.
Okay.
And in 3 years, it will be on Peacock and will cost $129.99.
That's fact.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Super Bowl... I get kind of, it's not that I'm footballed out, but it's like the lead up to it is the foreplay is so much better than the sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the Chiefs will probably pull it out and it will give a.
Oh.
I.
Go ahead.
I am terrified of the 49ers because they are utterly terrifying. But why would anyone ever bet against Mahomes?
right?
And I know the boring take, it is what you hear on all the pods, all the sports radio. I believe in Brock Purdy. I think that he is going to have a Tom Brady-like career that will have multiple rings, and he's just good. But not, I just don't feel it this year. But also, I don't think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be like a crappy one, like that Rams Patriots one, where it's going to be like 17 to 13, because that's what all NFL games look like anymore.
Except you know what? When the Packers destroyed the Cowboys.
Well, of course. I feel the same way. I'm hoping for an exciting game. You know, I don't want to be sitting at halftime going, fuck, they're down by 20. You know, I want to be sitting there on the edge of my seat for the 4.5 hour extravaganza, which is the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't mind if they were down by 20, because that would mean that there have been 30 plus points scored. What I don't want is halftime being like
7-3.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
It's gotten so schemed to death. And so, I mean, I'm not a gambler, but I listen to, you know, a lot of the pods, and they, you know, they're all, everybody now is sponsored by, you know, some type of gambling site, and the over-unders are all around 35, and the lines are always plus minus 3.5. And it's like, you know what? I don't mind a 48 to 22 game. In fact, I kind of like those games.
What do you think the Taylor Swift effect of the Super Bowl will be?
I will not speak of this topic. I got killed on the artist formerly known as Twitter last week because I replied to a very prominent comic book writer about Taylor Swift, and I said that I find she is dull. And they came after me about being a misogynist.
Oh yeah,
and being a mediocre man. I'm like, no,
That's the go-to. That's the Taylor. This is why I don't comment. Listen, I've never heard a Taylor Swift song in my life. It's music I'm not interested in. It's not music that I hate because I've never listened to it. I don't have any thoughts.
Yeah, on it.
It doesn't move my needle in any direction at all. Do I care that Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce? I don't give a shit. Just like I didn't care that Jessica Simpson was dating Tony Romo. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
Slipknot to do the half show, the halftime show. I want Age or Grandmaster Flash to be the ones that they cut to just because I find them interesting. This other pop music stuff, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not interesting.
It's not what I like. I like what I like. I'm set in my ways. I'm sick of the bickering about it. Who cares? Who cares that they showed her for a few seconds? You know, they show hours of commercials. The Super Bowl, if you don't have a team in the running in the Super Bowl, you're there for the commercials.
Now, dude, I gotta ask you this. If Jake from State Farm was dating Taylor Swift,
there'd be an issue.
Would the world just crack?
There'd be a fucking issue. Let me tell you.
Well, yeah, I'm certain. But that's okay. You know what? Let's get political, because why not? We've been talking for I don't know how many hours. Taylor Swift seems like the artist that the religious right should adore. And yet somehow,
I know,
she is now officially the one they hate. And they love Kanye West.
I know.
Dude,
I don't get it. I don't get it. Listen, I stopped listening to pop music when Michael Jackson died.
I hope you stopped listening to Michael Jackson's music before he died.
I did. But I'm not going to blame somebody because they have different music views or choices than I do. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Oh, I do. You're a better person.
I don't care. I don't care what anybody else listens to, because what I listen to is what I listen to. And when I go out to places,
everyone should listen to, because it's awesome.
Well, that's what everybody thinks, right?
Yeah, but they listen to crap, and I listen. Anyway, carry on.
How it goes. Listen, Mr. Stevenson, Matt, Packers 3.21528 to the decimal 4 has officially launched.
We're solving
all the world's problems in 60 minutes or less, or your pizza is free. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking a little Packers, a little NFL, a little Super Bowl predictions, restricted free agents, and this, that, and the other thing. I know we've talked. You'll be on a few more times in the very new future, and I look forward to chatting to you then.
We got a bit of CFL in there as well.
We do. I think we touched on fucking everything.
I can't even.
How do you cure COVID? Quick.
I think we didn't. We already solve this, Mr. Pfizer. We got shot.
It's Mr. Johnson and Johnson to you. I will cash their checks, but I will not take their vaccine. Who am I? Anyway,
if I quote again, because you mentioned Top Gun, and which I happened to watch earlier, and when Mav goes up to Slider at some point and asks him, it's like, or no, it was Goose, and he said, how'd you get in here? Or who's asked you had to kiss? And he's like, well, the list is long but distinguished. So yeah, so is my Johnson. Yeah. So anytime I hear the word Johnson, I'm right there.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on. You take care of yourself. We'll talk to you in the very near future.
Brother, it is Florida cold. You are dealing with Canada cold. Please take care of yourself.
I will do my best. Peace. Go Pack Go!
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies. The end of nights we try to die. This is